We're going to take some time over the summer to look at the Psalms. So do take a Bible. If you don't have one, you'll notice Wendy and Trevor and others at the top are bringing them around. And it'll just help you to have this open in front of you. It's on page 604, Psalm 100. And we're looking at some summer songs, which you'll notice in your update from these little bookmarks. Things about the morning, we're looking at summer songs. And in the evening, doing life well. And we've got the songbook that Jesus used. That's the Psalms. It's the songbook that Jesus used, and it's great because in the Psalms we see people wrestling with circumstances of life, with their feelings and the emotions that they have, the same kind of things that you and I wrestle with, and yet in it as well is these wonderful truths. And what we see is that actually what's in our head affects what's in our heart, what our feelings are like. That's what we're going to be seeing as we look at the Psalms in these days. And so to make sure we're right in our thinking, and then our emotions as well follow out of that. But our emotions are part of it. So we've got songs for celebrations or difficulties or when we've messed up and sinned. All these things are we going to be looking at over the summer. So Psalm 100, though, this morning, songs for celebration. Let's read together. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Should we actually read it again this time and actually say it all together? Let's do that. So here we go. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. Father, we thank you for the truths that this psalm contains. And Lord, thank you for the celebratory note. And Lord, I pray that however we came in feeling this morning, that we would leave knowing that we can be joyful, glad, full of thanks because of who you are. So Lord, meet with us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's always great to have things to celebrate, and today there seems to be so much with Grace getting baptized, with the time team finishing their 7 months, with being back in this new building, with all that God's been doing in these days, and Hope Await, and even back in the mission in Wales. Wasn't July just an incredible month of what God was doing in the lives of our church? And if you've even just got connected with us over this month of July, I want to say a very warm welcome to you. But what about next week? What about next week? What if there's less to celebrate next week? Can we still come in here joyful and thankful for all that's happened? Or what about if you came in here and maybe, although that we were having a baptism and the time team was ending and the ceiling was fixed, actually, you came in with a heavy heart this morning. What about that? What is there reason to sing about today for you? Well, what I want us to see in this passage is that if there is someone who actually their life impacts all of us here, and imagine this, not just all of us here, but everyone in Brighton and England and in Alaska and New Zealand. Imagine there was one person, probably not me or Tim or Grace or Sean or the PA team or the time team. I don't think none of us would claim that our lives impact that far, but imagine there was one whose life impacted all of those people. And imagine there was something to celebrate, not just about what that person had done this week, but about who they are that would never change. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be a reason to sing and rejoice? And you might have noticed that there is in this service something bigger, bigger than any one of us here, that we're here to worship and celebrate. And it's about God Himself. And in fact, our songs, as we've been singing them, none have been, isn't Holland Road Baptist Church great? Or isn't it great about the time team? Or great about the PA team? None of them have been celebrating that. What the songs have been celebrating is what this psalm celebrates, and what you and I, day by day and Sunday by Sunday, can give thanks for more than anything else. And that is who God is. And this psalm says, Holland Road Baptist Church, give thanks to Him. Brighton and Hove, give thanks to Him. United Kingdom, Alaska, New Zealand, give thanks to Him, because look how it begins. Shout for joy to the Lord. What does it say? All the earth. All the earth. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. And so our first point this morning is this. Let everyone be glad. Let everyone be glad. And that's what this psalm is saying in essence. Look at verse 1 and 2 again, because they really drive it home. Shout to joy for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. This is this kind of Hebrew poetry does this. It basically has rhyming ideas rather than rhymes at the end of the poem. So you've got rhyming ideas. You've got a little triplet here that basically says the same thing. And it's driving it home. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. There's something we're meant to do here. Do you see what it is? We're meant to shout or sing or worship or come before Him. That's the action that we're meant to do. Who are we doing it to? Who are we doing it to? To the Lord, to Him, to God on high. And how are we meant to do it?
How are we meant to do it?
With gladness, right? With joy, joyfully. Do you see? It kind of repeats it three times there. So we're meant to come before God to worship Him with gladness and joy. And I don't know I can do that today. I'm so tired after this busy July. Anyway, why is that such a reason to be glad? Why this morning can I be glad and rejoice like that? Do you ever feel like that? Maybe on Mondays particularly. Why? Why should I shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth? Well, do you want to know why? Read verse 3. This is the reason why. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Verse 3 is a fact that you and I need to know. It's a fact about God and who God is. It's again got this kind of idea repeated in three or so different ways. It's a fact about who God is, that He's God, that He's the Almighty, the One who made everything. In fact, I have up in my office a picture of some galaxy clusters, because that just reminds me of the bigness of God. Here we go. This is actually different planets, but you know, these things here that you think are small, they're all little stars, and where they're kind of gathered together, that's kind of a cluster of stars. And even at times when you get pictures, you get clusters of galaxies. Now, galaxies are massive. They contain billions of stars. There we go. I love this one. This is about 10 billion light years from one side to the other of the picture. Okay, so this is one galaxy colliding with another galaxy, and it's a photograph. And God made it. And we've come this morning to remember Him. He is God. And He made things as big as that. But look what particularly the psalmist wants you to know this morning that He made. Look down with me. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us. Me. David. God made me. God has a purpose for me. God has a plan for my life. I'm, as the Bible says in another place in the Psalms, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And this morning, know this. There is a God who made everything, and he's big and he's mighty, and he made you and me. And he's got a plan and a purpose for your life. He's God, he's the creator, he's my maker, and we are his. I am his. I belong to God. I have an identity in him. The other bits of the Bible talk about, I've been adopted into his family. And it goes on here and says, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. I'm one of God's sheep. And you might think, well, that doesn't sound too great. What's all that about? But God, a sheep of God's pasture means that he's got his protection over me. He's watching out over my life. And the facts of those things enable my heart to do verse 1 and 2, even when it's Monday, or even when it's the beginning of August after a busy July. Because those thoughts change the way I feel. You might have come across this idea about facts, faith, and feelings. And we sometimes talk about this to people soon after, like Grace, after they've decided that they want to follow Jesus. Because what we often find in our lives is that we focus on our feelings. So that how we feel is kind of the main driver in our lives. And you know what happens when you feel? Imagine feeling was at the front of this train. You know, how do your feelings go? Is that about right? Particularly, I won't say what I was going to say. But you know what I mean. Our feelings go like this all over the shop. But facts, if it's a fact, does that change much? No. Facts are facts. Facts are steady. And here's the thing. Should our faith follow our feelings or follow the facts? Should the decision that Grace has made to say, I'm a sinner, I need forgiveness, and God can forgive me, and I believe that in Jesus he has, should that follow how she feels today, whether she feels, you know, like God's there or not, or feels like God's forgiven her? No, it's a fact. God has forgiven her and always will. And our feelings can go all over the shop, but the facts won't. And our faith should follow the facts. I've been blessed by this massively this week. You know, you might think, but David, this is, you know, pretty, you know, I've come across this before. Well, good on you. Are you applying it? Are you letting your faith focus on the things you know about God, not just on how you do, how you're feeling? Because here's what I've discovered in my life, and I think I've said this before, I get more excited, more glad, something like I've got something to sing about when I look at God rather than at my diary, or at God rather than at my mirror, or at God rather than at my problems. And so is your faith, is what you're focusing on, is it primarily you and your feelings, or have you actually got your eyes fixed on God and the facts about him? Let that be the thing you keep coming back to in your life. And you might then say, well, David, that's great, you know, if I were to believe there's a God, or if I were to think that actually, you know, he was my God, or that I was his sheep. But honestly, I have to say, David, you might be thinking this, I read that and I don't get that excited about that because me and God don't get on. The fact is, David, me and God never got on. Or maybe when I was younger. But then this thing happened and we just don't talk anymore. In fact, to use the sheep analogy, I've kind of wandered off. Do those people have anything to sing about? If that's you this morning, is there something that you can rejoice and be glad about? Well, I don't know. You might have got a new TV or got something this week that might make you happy, but it might break tomorrow. But if you don't know that God is your God, that you're in his flock, actually, if I'm honest with you, right at this moment, there might not be a lot you can be joyful and shout to God about, praise him for. But that can change. That can change because Jesus and God aren't the kind of shepherds. It's not the kind of shepherd whereby, you know, if the sheep wander off, he goes, oh, that sheep's wandered off. There's one less. You know,
Few. And oh, there goes another one, wandered off. Right, well, we'll ignore that one. You know, sheep, when they wander off, usually run into trouble. So, you know, it's wandered off as well. Oh, there's another one, wandered off. No, what does the good shepherd do? As the psalm talks about, and as John 10 talks about, the good shepherd goes after the sheep. Jesus, God, the good shepherd, is coming today to say that he still wants you to come and be in his flock. He wants you to know that he is your God. He's coming today and pleading with you, a bit like that Friday last week when he was knocking on Grace's door, as it were, on her heart, and using all kinds of circumstances. He had brought these people to come and say, yeah, God still cares for you, still wants you. And in fact, in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5 and 6, there's this amazing description of how we've wandered off, but God has done something. And what he's done is he's taken the penalty for our wandering off. He's died in our place. And this describes here what Jesus has done. And it says this: he, Jesus, was pierced for our transgressions. It's what we were singing about in that song before we had the message. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. So Jesus is there hanging on the cross, and he's taking the punishment that you and I deserve for wandering off. And all of us have wandered off at various points in our lives. And he's taking that punishment. And the Bible says this: we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity, or the guilt, or the punishment of us all. He's laid it on Jesus. And that means you and I can turn back to God, just like Grace has discovered. That you and I can, any point, any time, if we will say, thank you, Jesus, I accept what you've done, I want to come back, God, and know a right relationship with you, any time, you and I can turn around and come back to him. There's reason for everyone to be glad. They might not be glad at this point in time, they're not all singing, but they can all sing. And you might, even as we go on in this message, just keep on thinking about that, that you today can get right with God. Even Tim earlier in his, as he was leading us through some songs, he just paused and said, maybe you need to just start talking to God and said, God, show yourself to me. And I pray, keep doing that, even through the service. Just in your heart, be saying, God, I want to know more about you. I want to be right with you. But for many here in this room, you do know God. You do know that you're his sheep of his pasture. And you still wander off. And I still wander off. And we still sometimes take our eyes off him and look at ourselves or our problems or our crises and get all in a state about them and lose this joy. Anyone here who's maybe been part of the church for a long time know that sometimes you've lost your joy in the Lord a little bit over time. Yeah, few honest hands. Me too. It easily happens sometimes, because what happens is we forget what worship is all about. We forget to look at him and we start focusing on other things. And I want to call us as we come back to Holland Road, guys, don't let's go back in our minds or our thinking. Don't come and go, phew, it's all okay. Now we can just go, you know, I think I've used this before. Just sit back, put our feet up and go, phew, it's over. Oh, actually, and kind of look down and go, aren't I so tired? Actually, let's look up. Tired as you may be, look up to God. Step up with him. Worship here is actually, it's even the similar, it's the same word they use for serving. Serve the Lord with gladness. Worship him with gladness in these summer days through the months of August. And there's a little clip that I've found really challenged me. And don't listen to this clip the wrong way. Don't think, you know, that actually, you know, it's not important that we have, you know, a PA guys coming and getting sound and all those things working. Those things matter and they help us, but it's not all about those things. It's about God Almighty. And this morning, as you watch this, ask yourselves, are you come this morning to worship him? And let's watch this together. So, little 3-minute little DVD for you right now. Thank you.
offering other drink of its work. I dare say, on it must save you, both bruised and crushed. Show that God is love.
Let everyone be glad. Don't pretend, but refocus. Refocus and rethink and redirect your heart. And I want to do the same, so that it's all about Him, and we come to Him at that cross and we place our troubles, our challenges, our sin, our fears, and we place them at the cross and come and worship with glad hearts, because those things have been given over to Him. And what we've received from Him, His forgiveness, His affirmation, His telling us that we are His and that He will protect us and guide us, those things are so, so, so much more precious, and are reasons to do exactly what it's saying, for everyone in all the earth to be glad. So whether you're a visitor or a regular at Holland Road, come back to God this morning. Come back to Him. Return to God. Jesus has made the way. If your thoughts or attention started drifting off onto other things, come back to God. I'm praying that this season of us being back in Holland Road would be a time where we grow in what it means to worship. That was my heart for when we were at Clarendon Villas, but that's not stopped now. We're back at Holland Road. I pray that all here in this room would move on with Jesus in this month of August. That's what we wanted to do when we were at Clarendon Villas. Hey, why do we need to change that? Now we're back. Let's move on with Jesus. Let everyone be glad. And then lastly, and more briefly, let everyone be thankful.
Be glad and be thankful, because here it says in Psalm 100, look back at it with me, it says this, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Again, there's this clear thing that we're meant to do, to come to him, to come before him. And how are we meant to do that? With thanks and praise. And it's emphatic, it repeats it. That we're meant to praise him. And again, why? You might say, what do I in my life have to give thanks for? If you haven't realized it already, it's this, verse 5, that the Lord is good. Just pause on that one there before we rush ahead. The Lord is good. You thought, okay, David, I know that. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean that the Lord is good? It's one of those things that's just there throughout Scripture, so many places. And yet, I have to say, I've never read a book on the Lord is good. I've read books on the love of God or the sovereignty of God or, things like that. But the Lord is good. We kind of read it and know it, but we think, well, what's so special about that? Well, I've been enjoying this book, as some of you know, called Incomparable, and it goes through some of the characteristics of God, and one of them he talks about is that God is good. He just does a chapter on it. And he just has some wonderful insights on the goodness of God. And he even gets us just to think and think for a moment, well, God is good. Is that he's, it's a property of him, that he's, he's like milk is white. Milk is white, right? So is that what, God is good like that? That milk is white and God is good, and, other things are good and other things are white. So like, cricket players are white. And didn't we do badly yesterday to lose that test match? But cricket players are white, but they're not milk. So are other things good, but not God? Maybe. Or is God is good a definition? Is it a definition so that wherever you see goodness, wherever you see good things, that's God who's done that. That's the handiwork of God. Which is it? That got me thinking. I'll tell you, it's this. God is good. Yes, it's a property of him, but it's a definition as well. And actually the Bible throughout it says that when God made things, what did he say about them? They were good. It was all down to him. All the good things in the world are down to God. And in fact, even when someone came to Jesus and said, we can see that you're good, Jesus' answer was not that he was not good. He was saying, no one is good except God alone. What he was saying was that he was God. But no one is good except God alone. That's quite a statement. And here, the Lord is good. Now, here's the next thing. Is he then always good? What about those things in life that don't seem to be so good? Is God in those? Can God be in those? These insecurities, struggles, difficulties, challenges, the things that were coming up on there. Does this tally with this, the Lord is good? Well, yes, if you've been with us in our series in Genesis, you know that God is good, but it's us turning our back on him, us turning our back on the goodness of God, which has meant that bad things have come into the world, because what God does and what God is for good, and we, when we turn our back on God who is good, run into all kinds of bad trouble. But the amazing thing about God's amazing goodness is that he can turn even those bad things, he is so good and so good at being good, that he can turn even those bad, difficult things for good. Hallelujah! What an amazing, good God we serve. Isn't that a great phrase? The Lord is good always. My younger sister Anna likes to remind me of this. Sometimes I'll ring her up and say, it was such a great Sunday. God is so good. And she goes, David, God wasn't good because it was a great Sunday. God is always good. God is always good. He is so, so good. Let me end this little chapter here that he says. He says this, praise God. Here we go. It could not be any other way. God is shown to be good from our experience and can be described as, among other things, very good. But he is also good by definition. He has never been faced with a catch-22 situation, forced to choose between the lesser of two evils, or flummoxed into a decision that was anything less than completely good.
Therefore, if God has done something, it is good. End of story. We may not understand why God has done it, of course. Job in the Bible didn't either, but we can be confident based on Scripture and on our experience that as sure as milk is white, Yahweh is good. God is good. Taste and see, as the psalmist says, taste and see that the Lord is good. So be thankful for his goodness this morning. Be thankful that this big God who made everything and made you and wants to love you so much that he sent Jesus, be thankful that he's good, and so that to know him and be close to him is to be with the good person, the one who is good, and the one who, it goes on, is loving, and his love endures forever. It goes on all the time, so that he loved you yesterday when you were far from him. He loved you 3 weeks ago, Grace, when you were turning your back on him. He loves you now. He'll always love you. Everyone here, God loves you with an enduring love. You know what that means? It means even when you and I mess up, even when we're not faithful, he is faithful in his love. Praise him for that. Thank God for that. That he is faithful in his love. And you might even be sitting there thinking, well, how, David? I need to be loved. How do I know I'm loved? Well, look at what the Bible says. We have it up here on the screen. Romans 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While you were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's how much he loves us. That's how much he loves me. And you know what's great about that? When I then struggle and fall into sin or do something that I know doesn't please God or don't worship him as I want to, you know what? I can come back to this same verse, the same as anyone else in the entire world. And I come back and said, God's love for me wasn't dependent on me being good, but on him being good and loving and gracious and perfect. So be thankful this morning, church, that God is good. And it goes on forever, and his faithfulness goes on forever and ever. Again, it's a fact about God. And our feelings then flow out of that fact, don't they? Just like the fact, faith, feeling train. Let me come back to it here and say, feelings flow from what? From our thinking, from our facts. So get our thinking right. Make sure that tomorrow morning or at the beginning of your holiday, or if you're not going on holiday and you're envying all those other people that are, that your thinking is not on those things, but your thinking is on God and his goodness, his love, his character, what he's always like, so that, Grace, you'll always know the joy that comes like you do today, like I can see on your face, because you know the facts. And time teamers, whether in good days or bad days as these days go on, you will know that God is good and he's with you. And church, as we come back, as we consider how he's been faithful to us at Clarendon Villas, faithful over 120 years, we'll know that God is good and his love endures forever and that he is faithful. And maybe you're here as a visitor this morning. Maybe actually you're not here for any of these reasons. You've just literally come in off the street. Well, let me tell you too, this morning, you can be glad. You can be thankful if you will turn back to God. If you will allow Jesus to do this forgiving in you like he's done in Grace. If you will let him, the Good Shepherd, come and invite you back to him. How do you do that, you might ask? Well, I find that when I wander from God, I say a little prayer. It's just three words. I've been saying it, I say it to others and say this prayer. I say it with others. I say it myself. And it's this: sorry, God. Sorry for when I wander off. And maybe even just watching that little DVD, maybe you've been a Christian for many years, and actually today, you were just challenged by that DVD and you just need to say, sorry, God. Sorry for not worshiping you as I should. But maybe you're a visitor and you've, like, Grace, you've just been far from God and you need to say, sorry, God, for all those things I've done wrong that have offended you. But then say, thank you. That's what this psalm's about. Thank you. Give thanks to him. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you died for me. Thank you that I can come back to you. Thank you for all you've done. And then, lastly, please, please, God, help me now, this day, to worship you, to be joyful in you, to be glad in you.